I read to you Psalm 78 verses 1 to 8. Psalm 78 verses 1 to 8. A maskil of Asaph. Give ear, O my people, to my teaching. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings from of old. Things that we have heard and known, that our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, but tell to the coming generation the glorious deeds of the Lord and his might and the wonders that he has done. He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers to teach to their children, that the next generation might know them, the children yet unborn, and arise and tell them to their children, so that they should set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments, and that they should not be like their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation whose heart was not steadfast, whose spirit was not faithful to God. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious God, our loving Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for this evening hour that we can come before your throne of grace and seek your face by the blood of Jesus Christ, your only begotten Son. O Lord, we seek you this evening, asking that you will pour out your Spirit upon us and that, Lord, you will minister to our hearts by your Spirit through your Word. We pray, Lord, that you will open our eyes to perceive wonderful truths out of thy holy law. And we pray that you will write your word upon our hearts, upon our minds, that we will walk humbly with you and that we will do your will. Come, Holy Spirit, minister to us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalm 78 is a history psalm, like Psalm 105. Psalm 106, Psalm 114, 135, and 136. These are all history psalms. Now the German philosopher Hegel, he was the one who said that the one thing we learn from history is that we don't learn from history. The one thing we learn from history is that we don't learn from history. If you study the Bible and church history, you discover that God's people make that same mistake. As Asaph reviewed the history of his people, the Israelites, as he reviewed their history, he saw a sad record, a record of forgetfulness, faithlessness, foolishness, and failure. And Asaph sought to understand what it all meant. These things were written for the profit of believers also today. We read in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 11 and 12. Now these things happened to them as an example, but they were written down for our instruction, on whom the end of the ages has come. Therefore, let anyone who thinks that he stands take heed lest he fall. So as we study the history of the Jews here that is written in the psalm, we learn one thing, that all of this was written down for our own instruction. It says they were written down for our instruction, on whom the end of the ages has come. In fact, all of the scripture is written down for our instruction, so that we don't fall away. So we better heed to what Asaph says. Remember, history is his story. A.T. Pearson said that. History is his story. A.T. Pearson. The story of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we better remember the lessons biblical history teaches us, so that we don't make the same mistakes. And Psalm 78 concludes with the coronation of David. But the mention of the temple in verse 69 indicates that David's reign had ended. Psalm 78 verse 69. He built his sanctuary like the high heavens, like the earth, which he has founded forever. Then we find the children of Ephraim are mentioned here in verse 9. Psalm 78 verse 9 and 10, I read to you. The Ephraimites, armed with the bow, turned back on the day of battle. They did not keep God's covenant, but refused to walk according to his law. Now Ephraim in verse 9 probably refers not to the tribe of Ephraim, but to the northern kingdom known as Israel. And Israel, the northern kingdom, had split from Judah and Benjamin. Judah and Benjamin were the southern kingdom. Now this happened when Rehoboam became king in Judah and Jeroboam reigned in northern Israel. The kingdom was split in two after the death of Solomon. We read of this in 1 Kings chapter 12. The leaders of Israel abandoned the faith of their fathers and they established a religion of their own making. While the people of Judah, the southern kingdom, they sought to be faithful to the Lord. Jeroboam, he made idols in the northern kingdom of Israel and he summoned the people to worship the calves that he had made. In 1 Kings chapter 12 verses 25 to 33 we read, Jeroboam then built up the city of Shechem in the hill country of Ephraim and it became his capital. Later he went and built up the town of Peniel. Jeroboam thought to himself, unless I am careful, the kingdom will return to the dynasty of David. When these people go to Jerusalem to offer sacrifices at the temple of the Lord, they will again give their allegiance to King Rehoboam of Judah. They will kill me and make him their king instead. So on the advice of his counselors, the king made two gold calves. He said to the people, it is too much trouble for you to worship in Jerusalem. Look, Israel, these are the gods who brought you out of Egypt. He placed these calf idols in Bethel and in Dan at either end of his kingdom. But this became a great sin, for the people worshipped the idols, traveling as far north as Dan to worship the one there. Jeroboam also erected buildings at the pagan shrines and he ordained priests from the common people, those who were not from the priestly tribe of Levi. And Jeroboam instituted a religious festival in Bethel, held on the 15th day of the 8th month, in imitation of the annual festival of shelters in Judah. There at Bethel, he himself offered sacrifices to the calves he had made, and he appointed priests for the pagan shrines he had made. So on the 15th day of the 8th month, a day that he himself had designated, Jeroboam offered sacrifices on the altar at Bethel. He instituted a religious festival for Israel, and he went up to the altar to burn incense. So in Psalm 78, in this psalm, Asaph warned the people of Judah not to imitate their faithless ancestors or their neighbors in the northern kingdom. Asaph is warning the people of Judah, the southern kingdom, not to imitate their ancestors who were faithless or their neighbors in the northern kingdom who had disobeyed the Lord and gone after vain idols. Asaph admonished the people of Judah to know the scriptures, to study the scriptures and to teach them to their children. Now Judah had the temple on Mount Zion, the covenants they had the priesthood and the Davidic dynasty was theirs. God had warned them in the past regarding the dangers of the idolatrous nations. Their knowledge of God could be lost in just one generation. In the book of Judges chapter 2 verses 1 to 15 we read, the angel of the Lord went up from Gilgal to Bochim and said to the Israelites, I brought you out of Egypt into this land that I swore to give your ancestors, and I said I would never break my covenant with you. For your part, you were not to make any covenants with the people living in this land. Instead, you were to destroy their altars. But you disobeyed my command. Why did you do this? So now I declare that I will no longer drive out the people living in your land. There will be thorns in your sides, and their gods will be a constant temptation to you. When the angel of the Lord finished speaking to all the Israelites, the people wept loudly. So they called the place Bochim, which means weeping, and they offered sacrifices there to the Lord. After Joshua sent the people away, each of the tribes left to take possession of the land allotted to them. And the Israelites served the Lord throughout the lifetime of Joshua and the leaders who outlived him, those who had seen all the great things the Lord had done for Israel. Joshua, son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died at the age of 110. They buried him in the land he had been allocated at Timnath-Serah in the hill country of Ephraim, north of Mount Gash. After that generation died, another generation grew up who did not acknowledge the Lord or remember the mighty things he had done for Israel. The Israelites did evil in the Lord's sight and served the images of Baal. They abandoned the Lord, the God of their ancestors, who had brought them out of Egypt. They went after other gods, worshipping the gods of the people around them, and they angered the Lord. They abandoned the Lord to serve Baal and the images of Ashtoreth. This made the Lord burn with anger against Israel. So he handed them over to raiders who stole their possessions. He turned them over to their enemies all around, and they were no longer able to resist them. Every time Israel went out to battle, the Lord fought against them, causing them to be defeated, just as he had warned. And the people were in great distress. Now, since Israel was a covenant nation, she had the responsibility of obeying and honoring the Lord. And Psalm 78 represents three responsibilities God expected his people to perform. Three responsibilities that God expects even today that his people would fulfill. Number one, the responsibility of protecting the future, verses 1 to 8. Number 2, the responsibility of understanding the past, verses 9 to 64. And number 3, the responsibility of appreciating the present, verses 65 to 72. Now, there are 72 verses in the psalm, so we will go slow. We will just look into the first 8 verses today. The responsibility of protecting the future generation. Verses 1 to 8. Psalm 78, verses 1 to 8. I read to you now from the New Living Translation. O my people, listen to my instructions. Open your ears to what I am saying, for I will speak to you in a parable. I will teach you hidden lessons from our past, stories we have heard and known, stories our ancestors handed down to us. We will not hide these truths from our children. We will tell the next generation about the glorious deeds of the Lord, about his power and his mighty wonders. For he issued his laws to Jacob. He gave his instructions to Israel. He commanded our ancestors to teach them to their children, so the next generation might know them, even the children not yet born, and they in turn will teach their own children. So each generation should set its hope anew on God, not forgetting his glorious miracles and obeying his commands. Then they will not be like their ancestors, stubborn, rebellious, and unfaithful, refusing to give their hearts to God. In all the centuries that have passed by, if the remnant of Jewish spiritual leaders had not preserved the scriptures for us, where would we be today? They were the ones who kept the scriptures. They preserved the scriptures, the spiritual leaders of Israel. Until the New Testament was completed, near the end of the first century, the New Testament was completed. Until the New Testament was completed, the only Bible in the early church was the Old Testament. It was God's law that each generation of Jewish people should pass on God's word to the next generation. And this is very important for us today. Psalm 71 verse 18. So even to old age and gray hairs, O God, do not forsake me until I proclaim your might to another generation, your power to all those to come. So this was the responsibility of each generation of the Jews. And this is also our responsibility as believers in Christ today. Psalm 79 verse 13. But we, your people, the sheep of your pasture, will give thanks to you forever. From generation to generation, we will recount your praise. Now, how could they recount praises to God unless they had God's word handed down from generation to generation? Psalm 102, verse 18. Let this be recorded for a generation to come, so that a people yet to be created may praise the Lord. Psalm 145, verse 4. One generation shall commend your works to another, and shall declare your mighty acts. Exodus chapter 10, verse 2. And that you may tell in the hearing of your son and of your grandson, how I have dealt harshly with the Egyptians, and what signs I have done among them, that you may know that I am the Lord. Every Passover meal was a reminder of their deliverance from Egypt. Exodus chapter 12, verses 26 to 27. And when your children say to you, what do you mean by this service? You shall say, it is a sacrifice of the Lord's Passover. For he passed over the houses of the people of Israel in Egypt when he struck the Egyptians, but spared our houses. And the people bowed their heads and worshipped. Exodus chapter 13, verses 8 and 9. You shall tell your son on that day, it is because of what the Lord did for me when I came out of Egypt. And it shall be to you as a sign on your hand and as a memorial between your eyes, that the law of the Lord may be in your mouth. For with a strong hand the Lord has brought you out of Egypt. Again in Exodus 13 verse 14. And when in time to come your son asks you, what does this mean? You shall say to him, by a strong hand the Lord brought us out of Egypt from the house of slavery. So from generation to generation, the word of God and the power of God was proclaimed. It was so important to remind each generation about how God had dealt with his people. In Deuteronomy chapter 4 verse 9, only take care and keep your soul diligently, lest you forget the things that your eyes have seen, and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life. Make them known to your children and your children's children. So it is so important to remember how God has dealt with us in the past, so that we live responsible lives in obedience to God in the future. And our children and children's children will also do the same. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 6 to 12. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. And when the Lord your God brings you into the land that he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob to give you, with great and good cities that you did not build, and houses full of good things, and houses full of all good things that you did not fill, and cisterns that you did not dig, and vineyards and olive trees that you did not plant, and when you eat and are full, then take care lest you forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. God gave Israel various laws to protect the future of the nation, and it was their responsibility to keep these laws. We find these laws described in the book of Deuteronomy. In chapters 20 to 25, we find these laws that are described. And these laws were given to protect the nation, to protect the future of the nation. And so it was their responsibility to keep those laws. It is so important for us believers today also to pass on the word of God from one generation to generation. Remember, Paul tells Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. You then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. In telling the praises of the Lord, his deeds worthy of praise, Asaph helped his readers understand an enigma in their history. He explained to them why God rejected the tribe of Ephraim and why God chose the tribe of Judah and David to be king. He explained why the tabernacle at Shiloh was abandoned and a temple was built on Mount Zion. Future generations needed to understand this so they would obey the Lord and that they would do His will. Asaph did not want the people to imitate the Exodus generation that died in the wilderness, or the third generation in Canaan, the third generation in Canaan that turned to idols. Asaph did not want the people of Israel to imitate that Exodus generation, or the third generation in Canaan that turned to idols, or the ten tribes in the northern kingdom that forsook the Lord and established a new kind and a false religion, a new kingdom they established and a false religion they established. And Asaph was warning the people. He was telling them not to imitate those who had gone astray. The nation of Israel had been stubborn, they had been rebellious. Psalm 78 verse 8. And that they should not be like their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation whose heart was not steadfast, whose spirit was not faithful to God. Psalm 78 verses 36 and 37. But they flattered him with their mouths, they lied to him with their tongues, their heart was not steadfast toward him, they were not faithful to his covenant. In fact, in the Old Testament times, according to the law of God, stubborn and rebellious children were dealt with very seriously. Deuteronomy chapter 21 verses 18 to 21. If a man has a stubborn and rebellious son who will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and though they discipline him, will not listen to them, then his father and his mother shall take hold of him and bring him out to the elders of his city at the gate of the place where he lives. And they shall say to the elders of his city, this our son is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard. Then all the men of the city shall stone him to death with stones. So you shall purge the evil from your midst, and all Israel shall hear and fear. In those days, the nation of Israel was a theocracy, not a democracy. They had to obey God's law. It was God who brought that nation into existence. They had to obey God's law and take God's word very seriously. If they did not, what would happen? God would deal with them severely. And He did deal with the nation of Israel severely when they did not keep His laws. They had suffered because of their disobedience. Psalm 78 verse 8, and that they should not be like their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation whose heart was not steadfast, whose spirit was not faithful to God. On the positive side, Asaph wanted the future generations to trust God, to learn from the past and to obey God's word. Only then could they be sure of the blessing of the Lord. And that principle still applies today. We have a responsibility to the next generation. It is so sad to see the spread of idolatry, immorality, materialism, violence and bloodshed in our own generation. We have a huge responsibility to stand in the gap and to intercede for this generation and the generations to come. We have a great responsibility to instruct this generation with God's word. Psalm 78 verse 4. We will not hide them from their children, but tell to the coming generation the glorious deeds of the Lord and His might and the wonders that He has done. In the book of Ezekiel chapter 22 and verse 30 we read, and I sought for a man among them who should build up the wall and stand in the breach before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. Ezekiel chapter 33 verses 6 to 9. But if the watchman sees the sword coming and does not blow the trumpet so that the people are not warned, and the sword comes and takes any one of them, that person is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at the watchman's hand. So you, son of man, I have made a watchman for the house of Israel. Whenever you hear a word from my mouth, you shall give them warning from me. If I say to the wicked, O wicked one, you shall surely die, and you do not speak to warn the wicked to turn from his way, that wicked person shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at your hand. But if you warn the wicked to turn from his way, and he does not turn from his way, that person shall die in his iniquity, but you will have delivered your soul. You see the tremendous responsibility that we have as believers in Christ. It is so important for us to teach the generation, the next generation, God's word, to warn them not to fall away, not to turn away from God, not to go after the things of this world, not to go after the world, the flesh and the devil. It is our duty to warn them, to teach them the scriptures. Now, why should we share the word of the Lord with the generation to come? We share God's word with them because that's what prepares them for the future. That's the reason. That's the first reason. We share God's word with them because that's what prepares them for the future. Psalm 78 verse 7. So that they should set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. Now hope looks to the future. We are born again to a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. So the hope of a believer, the hope of a believer in Christ is not the kind of hope so hope. No. The hope of a believer is the hope that is absolutely secure. We know that our Lord Jesus is going to return and he is coming to take us home to heaven. Too many people in the younger generation are setting their hopes on their jobs, their money, financial security, etc. They set their hopes on the government, thinking that when this government is here or when the new government is here, they will be secure. They set their hopes on job security. They set their hopes on college degrees and their ability. They are looking for hope in the wrong place. None of this can give them eternal security. So they have no hope. They are sadly lost. They spend their whole life in a pursuit of this hope. But when we share the glorious gospel with them, and when they repent and turn to Christ, then they have true hope. They have hope in Christ. That is why we need to declare God's word to them. 1 Timothy chapter 4 verse 10. For to this end we toil and strive because we have our hope set on the living God, who is the Savior of all people, especially of those who believe. So it is so important for us to share the word of God with the next generation, with our own generation and the next generation. We share God's word with them because that's what prepares them for the future. That's what gives them true hope. Number two, we want the next generation to remember the works of God. Psalm 78 verse 7. So that they should set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. You know how easy it is to forget what God has done for us. You know, each one of us, as believers in Christ, we have experienced God's miraculous power at work in our lives. In some way or the other, in the past, we have seen God's miracle working power in our life. Yet, if we keep reminding the next generation, if we forget, you see how easy it is to forget what God has done for us. But if we keep reminding the next generation, they will also remember. Tell them about how God has worked in your life and how the scriptures have been so meaningful to you. Speak to them about the word of God and the power of God. So keep reminding the next generation. Then they will remember. The past history must not be forgotten. Those who forget the past are bound to repeat its mistakes. Finally, we must share the things of the Lord with the younger generation so that they will keep his commandments. So that they will keep his commandments. Psalm 78 verse 7. So that they should set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. The psalmist was not talking about a legalistic life. He was talking about the loving obedience to the Lord. We have a great responsibility to the new generation, and we fulfill that responsibility by being a good example, by being a witness to them, by teaching, by sharing, and by encouraging. As a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you are entrusted. You are entrusted with your Christian heritage. You share with the next generation the Word of God and the works of God, the power of God. You teach them valuable lessons about how He still works in the lives of His people. So we must strive to be an example that encourages the next generation to obey the Lord. We have a responsibility. We have a great responsibility of protecting their future. And how do we do so? We do it through the ministry of God's word. We remind them of the word of God and the power of God. Let's bow our heads in prayer.